Okay, so Tom Bridges, thank you for joining us this morning, and we look forward to talking with you and just hearing about your ministry. We were just talking about Zoom, so maybe that's the place to start. Are you going into the jail, or are you doing Zoom with them now?
Well, doing both now. We just started a couple of weeks ago going back into the jails in person, and the inmates are really, really delighted about in person. But also we're doing Zoom because some of the volunteers, you know, are still a little reluctant to go down there. And I've got different people that come on Zoom, which, you know, is a blessing from the standpoint that now I can have just about anybody join me on Zoom and go into the jails without having to go through all the security clearances and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so that's been a positive for the Zoom.
What's it, turn the volume up in here a little bit more. So what is the, I don't know, has COVID changed the climate in the jails, or what's your sense of that? Since we're talking about even maybe another round of COVID here, nobody knows what this is going to do with the Delta variant.
Tom, to be honest, we take it one day at a time. I don't know what's going to be the next situation. I mean, all I know right now is they've opened the jails back up completely, and I'm going back into the Montgomery. Now, I don't have permission yet to go back into the city jail, but I do have permission to go into the federal jails at the county and also the regular MCDF. We just take it one day at a time, and hopefully and pray, you know, that we won't have a reoccurrence of this COVID.
So, yeah, that's, what was the last jail you mentioned, MCBS or something like that?
No, it's called the Montgomery County Detention Facility. And yeah. MCDF is just the initials we use.
Yeah. So that's the one you've been working in. That's maybe even been the principal one you've been working in. Is that right?
That's the main, you know, the Montgomery County Detention Facility are where all the felons, the harder of the crimes are housed. City jail, you know, mostly the misdemeanor type. The jaywalkers, the drunks that they throw in there to sober up for the weekend. The lesser crimes.
Yeah. Let's see. Somebody else joining us. Alan Clark coming on. Good morning, Alan.
Tom, we hear on the news about all the crimes that are picking up around Montgomery. Is that increasing the population in the jails?
Well, even before COVID, Bubba, the population was increasing, especially among youth. We're probably getting more and more young inmates than you've ever seen. I mean, you'll get guys in there for capital murder, 16, 17, 18 years of age. But the climate right now, crime has increased. And that's really unfortunate. You know, the condition of our country is almost become criminal from a standpoint, you know, where defunding the police and not showing respect for authority is really detrimental, I think, to the climate of our whole nation. And when people hear that message, you know, that we're not going to respect and become lawless, this is what, you know, gives them a green light to do what they do. It's just like opening up the door and saying, hey, you know, come in and loot our stores and do whatever you want to do. We're not going to hold anybody responsible. And that's really a sad situation for our country to be in.
All right. How do we as Christians react to that?
Well, you know, God's people can turn the tide of this whole thing if Christians will begin to really, truly, heartfelt, and I'm not just talking about just a few Christians. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ, really humbling, as the scripture says, turning away from our own sins and our own wicked ways and humbling ourselves before God and seeking Him. The church, I've always felt, holds the answer for everything. We're not a godless nation. We're a nation that's founded on godly Christian principles, and we should be instilling these into the young people and to the people around our lives. But when we put such little value on the gospel and on Jesus Christ, you know, this is the kind of stuff that opens Pandora's box to what we're seeing today. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we have all been blessed with a great country. And, but I still believe that it's the church that holds the answer. God doesn't have a plan B. He has a plan A. For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. And those who believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, that's the message that needs to get into the people, the hardest of the hard, the criminals, the in the political realm, and the news media, and government, and all every area of our life. We need a revival, a personal awakening. So that's how we should pray, I believe.
Tom, how receptive?
Huh?
How receptive are the young people that you're talking to hearing the word?
Very, very receptive. You know, when people really, when you sit down and you really begin to give people the truth instead of, you know, I've always said, David, over the years that you can't con a con man. And truly people are looking for truth. They want to hear the truth. They want to hear that their life, has meaning. And that there's value to their life. And I tell them, I said, look, I don't care what kind of crimes, I don't care what kind of mistakes. I said, we're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. But I said, if you want to know how valuable you are, just look at the cross, because that's the value that God places on your life. You're as valuable to God as Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And He allowed His Son to die so that you and I might have life, not only on our earthly journey, but also in our heavenly home when we get to heaven.
Well, Tom, I was just going to say that we all need to be evangelists right now, sharing the gospel, so that the Lord might open up the eyes of these people, which might open up the eyes of our country.
Exactly, Bubba, and I completely and absolutely in agreement with that.
How often, Tom, are you talking with the either in or Zoom with the folks in the county jail?
Well, they had only given me Saturday for the past year and a half to do Zoom meetings, and we would get two groups at one time. But now, you know, Monday, Wednesdays, and so we're doing Monday and Wednesday in person, and I'm able to get about two groups a day with the time allotted from 8 to 11. And then we're continuing to do the Zoom, so that other volunteers who want to join, you know, hey, Tom, remember, your Paul Sullivan?
Yes.
Well, Paul is not only doing fantastic. He has been part of our Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
And not only does he get on and share with the inmates, you know, that which God has done in his life, but he's on fire. I mean, he says, you know, he's written a book. that just gives you a little example of what one referral can do in a person's life.
Yeah.
So Paul's been joining me on Zoom, and And we've had our Sunday school class. We've had Lewis Chapman and Charlie Gross have joined us on Zoom. As a matter of fact, I'd encourage any of you guys, if you'd like to participate, one, let me know, and I would more than love for you to share your testimony with the inmates and to actually come and see what's what God is doing.
Yeah, would you send us that link? Send it to me or David if you have his, and we can pass it on to the others.
Okay. The only thing I would need would be your email address.
Yeah, and you have, I think you have my email address. I can pass it on to David or anybody else. Or David.
Tom, if you just want to reply to that email I sent you, you can just send it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'll send it this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Reference to Paul. Paul was in there for I don't know how long, very unjustly placed there.
And yeah, it was sort of a messy situation, I think, with his marriage and it was just unfortunate. But he got a taste of the inside and of a jail. I don't think he was really there that long, but it did have an impact on him.
Yeah.
It had a real impact.
It maybe was only a week or two, but Tom was a lifeline for Paul.
Wow, I did not know that. Thank you, Tom.
Well, again, it's all, I give all the glory back to the Lord, but it was, I spent, I don't know, the first time I met him, we spent probably about an hour just he and I just sitting talking, and he's really quite an interesting fellow. But man, I tell you, he loves the Lord and he's on fire. So when he gets on there, he says, "Look, guys, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there." And I can tell you, that there's a whole lot better road to travel than the one that you're traveling. And he just lays it out there.
I imagine that's pretty impactful, having somebody they can relate to. Do you have other volunteers that have been in prison that help?
Very few. I've never, Paul contacted me. He said, "Tom," he says, "I would love to be able to join with you on the Zoom meetings." But I really haven't had too many other past inmates join me. Former inmate. He's not an inmate anymore. He's a on fire brother in Christ.
Yeah.
Tom, like I said, you don't really get the, I'm sorry, Tom.
Well, I was just going to ask, what other Bible studies are you doing?
Well, we've had a Bible study Friday mornings for the past 30 years. It was led by Al Perkins. Of course, Al passed away last year. He went to be with Jesus. And so they asked me to sort of take the lead. And Al was sort of our stalwart as far as the leading of the Bible study. And I sort of took a different approach. I said, "Look, I don't want to be the center of attention, and I certainly don't want, other people, but I said the center of attention is Jesus Christ." And so Al has invested 30 years of his life into all of us. And so now I give every man an opportunity that wants to teach. And so as the Holy Spirit gives me the lead to choose the one to take the, like this coming Friday, we will have Doug McCurry. Doug McCurry has a church here in town called Legacy. And but we've had some just unbelievable teaching going on. But that Bible study has been going on for, 30 years. We meet at Dalreda United Methodist Church every Friday from 7 to 8. And then we go to Chappie's. We call it the afterglow.
Yeah.
But one of my closest and dearest brothers in Christ, one of my mentors, Jim Reinhart, who had been with me in the ministry for over 25 years, you know, he went to be with the Lord a year ago, August.
Wow.
And that's been a real loss.
Mm-hmm. And I interrupted you. You were starting to say something. Can you remember what that was?
That was three thoughts ago.
You're doing good if you had three thoughts ago.
Yeah, well, we have to get back to the... Yeah, I just started taking blood pressure medicine here this past week, and so it has a little bit of an impact on your thought process. So if I start slurring and drooling, you know, you'll know what it is. But we're still, you know, I'm still meeting with Lewis Chapman's Sunday school class, and I tell you, great, just great guys. I love every one of those guys in the Sunday school class with Lewis, and our class is getting smaller and smaller, though. We got to keep praying for everybody, and we need to pray for Robert Sasser. I did not know that he got the virus.
Yeah, and I really don't know how bad it is. I need to try to find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom, we had the prayer request that you passed to the church that you saw when I sent them to you, but what else, other things can we pray for you?
Well, that God will just keep me in good health, that he'll keep stirring up his anointing in my life, that I would continue to, you know, my desire is to be so on fire and so full of Jesus that Jesus will literally spill and splash over on those that God brings across my path. And good morning.
Good morning.
Ming?
Yes. Morning. Good morning. Yes.
Nice to meet you, Ming.
Same here.
God bless you. God bless you.
You'll see Ming around Jackson Hospital where he works occasionally if you ever pass through there. So.
Well, I try to stay away from the hospitals. I don't want to be a congregant. You know, I didn't know if you knew this, Tom, but January of 2020, I had to have my gallbladder removed. So I've had my taste of hospitals for I'm for hospitals. I just don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite an experience.
Tom, how is Beth?
She's doing good. Very good. Thank you, Bubba, for asking. And, yeah, 2020 has been a tough year for all of us. My father was, went to be with the Lord back, April of last year. Jim Reinhart went to be with the Lord. Pat Barnes and Jim, and Al Perkins went to be with the Lord. So 2020 has had its, you know, it's had its toll.
Is Beth still doing some catering?
Tom, she doesn't do it anymore. She retired.
Yeah.
We got rid of the building, the business. I mean, we shut all that down.
Yeah, I knew the building was you know, somebody else bought it or whatever, but
it was really God, because again, you know, she catered to mostly the garden clubs. 2020, there were no garden clubs.
Yeah, right.
No garden clubs meeting. So it wouldn't have been, it was really perfect timing for us to shut it down.
Right. Right.
As a matter of fact, I don't even know if these garden clubs are going to come back. That's what's sad.
You're probably right.
But listen, I'm excited. I'm excited what God is doing. You know, even in the current climate of what our country's going through, I believe that there are more hungry souls out there And it's just a matter of asking God to bring people across our path that we might have that impact on them. Somebody was willing to lay their life down for a season for our personal lives when we accepted Christ. And, I believe the same thing, is now our turn to share that good news with the people who are lost. And I tell you that our young people, especially, I remember back in the 70s when there was a real, outpouring of Jesus called the Jesus Movement, and many, many souls came to the Lord during the 70s. Mm-hmm. And, that was back when the hippies and all that kind of stuff was going on. Well, they call them Generation X. I mean, what a name to put on a generation.
Or Gen Z.
Generation X.
Or Gen Z.
Gen Z, yeah. But, I would love to see that same outpouring of God's Spirit all over the young people, the millennials, whatever they want to title them, and to have just a wave of, and I do believe that it is happening. They've got little spots in California of all places where there is literally pockets of revival taking place. So for that to sweep across our nation, that would be a real breath of fresh prayer.
Yeah. Well, speaking of prayer, unless anyone has questions, let us go to that. And Bubba, would you start us, please? Anyone pray as you'd like to.
Thank you, Tom.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day you've given us that we can be here together with you, with Tom, with people on the Zoom, knowing, Lord, that you're in control of everything. And I thank you for the years that Tom has dedicated his life to ministry in general, but particularly here this morning we're talking about the prison ministry. And Lord, I so agree with him that we desperately need revival. It needs to come from me. We need to be so excited about you that we can't help but talk about you. As he refers to Paul Sullivan, that he's on fire for the Lord. So, Lord, as we look around and see all the problems, we know the answer is Jesus. And we just need to be bold enough to share that. So I pray for us here at Trinity, Lord, that we would do that, that we as a church would be on fire.
Yes.
I remember the times in the 70s that he's talking about. It was just a real excitement about Jesus and reaching out. And it had an impact on my life and many people here at Trinity Church, Lord, and they're still here now. And we just thank you for that. So renew us, renew the younger generation, Lord, even our youth and children, that they might be on fire for you. So I thank you for Tom's heart and his passion. I lift up Beth and the rest of the family that you would be with them. And Lord, you would give Tom good help that he can continue on in this ministry and be on fire for the Lord also. So I just thank you for this time and just the opportunity to be together with these believers that love you, and you would encourage us to be about your word. And I pray all this in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Father, unless the Lord builds a temple, his builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watch over the city, his watchmen stand guard in vain. So, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to dwell among us.
Yes.
Use us boldly to proclaim the gospel, to become channels, to permeate the goodness of the Lord Jesus to one another, especially among those who don't know you yet, Father. By seeing the love we have for you and one another, they will want to know why we believe, Father. Use us in your vessel, but first, please be gentle on your trimming process in us, of us, through us, so we can be salt of the earth, light of the world, in every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we
gather to pray together. We pray for Tom and the work he's doing in the prison. Pray that your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts and minds of the people in the prison. They would be receptive to receiving the gospel and to grow in Christ.
Yes.
We give thanks for Tom and his work. We pray that he'll have good health and that we can see a revision and revival in the whole country.
Yes.
But also in the minds and hearts of people that are in prison.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that you'd be with and bless Tom and this ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us to find ways to be influential in our country, to bring revival, get back to more family-related things. So many people come from broken homes and have no discipline, no leadership or guidance. We pray for the youth in this country that have to grow up in this environment. Oh God, we give thanks for the many blessings we have. In Christ's name we pray.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. We gather as brothers in Christ. We look to you, the sovereign and almighty God, and know that there's nothing that happens here that you're not aware of. And we know you know the hearts of sinful men. You know our hearts. And yet we look to you as your sons by the blood of Christ. The body and blood of Christ enables us to be part of your family. We are grateful for that, Father. We thank you for Tom and his ministry over these many years in the prisons and this Bible study that he's a part of as well, and the leadership role he fills with that, and even others who take turns leading. And I pray that you continue to bless the community of believers in this city, and that all of us, that your church in this city would be strong and bold for the sake of your kingdom. I pray for Tom and Beth and their family, their children and grandchildren. I pray that you would continue to watch over them and bless them and provide for them. That their lives of service to you would continue. And I pray for these prisoners in the county jail that Tom sees, and either in person or in Zoom. And I pray that you would bring heart change, that these prisoners who come and hear Tom's words and the teaching, and that your spirit would work in their hearts, and that those who just have been caught up in whatever it is that brings them to be in the jail, that they would be freed from that.
Yes.
I know the issues are complicated, and drugs and poverty and crime intertwined in so many, many ways. It's a tangled web, and Satan holds tightly to that web. Mm. And yet we know that the power of Christ is greater, and that your Spirit's power can change. And we ask that you would anoint this ministry and the things that are said there.
Yes.
And that these people in prison would find hope and find release and come to a new life as a result of that. Lord, we ask your blessing on this day, that each of us would bear witness to the gospel in the things that we say, that we would honor you in the things we do in our own thoughts. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.